Our God, holy, infinite, loving, full of grace, forgiving, compassionate, creator, just, righteous, provider, the list goes on and on. You really can't get your mind around the concept of God, and especially how he does things. God promised Paul, for instance, that he would preach in Rome, but Paul didn't anticipate the way he was going to get to Rome. We talked about that in class this morning. What was going on during Habakkuk's day? Yep, it's up there. No, it's supposed to be 2023, the year, today. Habakkuk today. Maybe I should have said today. I didn't know that Habakkuk actually had 20 chapters, but what was actually going on? Violence, iniquity, wickedness, the law was ignored, justice was never upheld, the wicked surrounded and gobbled up the righteous. Justice was perverted. You ever seen a society like that? How long, O Lord, will I call for help and you will not hear? I cry out to you, violence, yet you do not save. Why do you make me see iniquity and cause me to look on wickedness? Yes, destruction, violence are before me. Strife exists and contention arises. Therefore, the law is ignored. Justice is never upheld. For the wicked surround the righteous. Therefore, justice comes out perverted. That's the opening lines of Habakkuk. I don't know if you've been able to find it. It's kind of hidden away there in the Old Testament. But you say, well, that was during a barbaric time. The culture and technology are different now. We're more civilized today. But people's hearts are the same. Consider the Twin Towers. In 2023, in this year alone, and it's not over yet, we have had 500 mass shootings in the United States. That's more than 50 a month, more than one a day. Over 25,000 have been killed in those shootings since January. Smash and grab thefts are happening all across the country. The situation on our southern border, our government in Washington, D.C. seems to be in total disarray. Thousands are dying in the Ukraine, and now a war just broke out in Israel with hundreds of thousands dead and dying. It's not the culture that's causing the problem. Here in the United States, we seem to live in an I, me, my society. Why shouldn't I have that? Why is this happening to me? This is my right. It's society driven by self-concern. Culture and technology don't make the difference. It's the hearts of the people in the society that make the difference. Some have publicly asked, where is God? Does he care? What's he doing? When I go out and look at my garden, it's pretty sad right now, but when I go out and look at my garden and I see that it's full of weeds, taking over that which I so carefully planted, I start weeding. I get out the hoe and the rototiller, and the weeds get hurt. God does the same thing with his garden. Suppose you're in a canoe and you're going down this big river and you start to hear a rumble in the distance. It's a large waterfall. What does that make you feel? What do you do about it? The sound is a serious warning, and the rumbles and grumbles of a society in distress, like Habakkuk's or ours, is a warning. And as we see this lawlessness around us, we may ask, is my God with me? Habakkuk says, why are you making me look at this? How long are you going to let this go on? Why don't you do something about it? That is where Habakkuk was, asking, is God going to step in and bring justice and righteousness to this nation? And maybe that's where you and I are in our thoughts. Well, God responds to Habakkuk's questions. He says, look among the nations, observe, be astonished, wonder, because I am doing something in your days. You wouldn't believe it if I told you. For behold, I'm raising up the Chaldeans, that fierce and impetuous people who march through the earth to seize dwelling places that are not theirs. They're dreaded and feared. Their justice and authority originate with themselves. Their horses are swifter than leopards and keener than wolves in the evening. Their horsemen come galloping. Their horsemen come from afar. They fly like an eagle swooping down to devour. All of them come for violence. Their horde of faces moves forward. They collect captives like sand. They mock at kings, and rulers are a laughing matter to them. They laugh at every fortress. They heap up rubble and capture it. Then they sweep through like the wind and pass on. But, God says, they will be held guilty, they whose strength is their God. God's saying to Habakkuk, I'm taking care of it, and I'm taking care of it in your days. Now, is that good or bad? Habakkuk chapter 1, and starting in verse 12. Are you not from everlasting, O Lord, my God, my Holy One? We will not die. After all, we're God's chosen people, right? We will not die. O Lord, you have appointed them to judge, and you, O Rock, have established them to correct. Your eyes are too pure to approve evil, and you cannot look on wickedness with favor. Why do you look with favor on those who deal treacherously? Why are you silent when the wicked swallow up those more righteous than they? Why have you made men like the fish of the sea, like creeping things without a ruler over them? The Chaldeans bring all of them up with a hook and drag them away to their net and gather them together in their fishing net. Therefore they rejoice and are glad. Therefore, they offer a sacrifice to their net and burn incense to their fishing net, because through these things their catch is large and their food is plentiful. Will they therefore empty their net and continually slay nations without sparing? Habakkuk says to God, you're not going to fix things that way. To raise up an unrighteous nation to destroy your people like fish caught in a net? God says, that's exactly what I'm going to do. I'm cleaning up the mess they have made, And I am doing it with the Chaldeans. By the way, that's the Babylonians, and you'll recall that they came in and they absolutely leveled the city of Jerusalem. No wall, no temple, no buildings, rubble. I've seen some pictures on TV that look like rubble. I'm cleaning up the mess they have made, and I'm doing it with the Chaldeans. You recall what the Babylonians did. They literally took everything. No more evil going on in Jerusalem. There isn't a city, there's no people there. Can't have evil without people there. Bring it forward to today. How will God choose to clean up America if he decides to? Will he use an army that we dread and fear? Will he cause the economy collapse? Will he allow our government to become so corrupt that no one will feel safe? Now, I'm not trying to scare you. I'm trying to present to you what happened in days of old, caused by God. We just see over and over in the Bible that people become unrighteous and God punishes them to cause them to repent. And you look at the judges over and over, the same story. They follow God, they fall away, God punishes them with another nation, and then they repent and follow God, and then they fall away, and over. If they do not repent and turn to righteousness, God will raise up somebody else. Did God know what the Chaldeans were like? Yeah, he just described them. They did his bidding, thinking that they were serving themselves. But notice in verse 11, they would be held accountable for what they did. Those whose God was their own personal strength. History says that they fell to the Medo-Persians. It was a one-night attack. They just came into Babylon and completely overwhelmed it. Oh, and by the way, it was the Medo-Persians that sent Nehemiah back to Jerusalem to rebuild the wall some 70 years later. A new nation, a new king, a new way of viewing life. How can God use a vicious people and then turn around and destroy them? God didn't make them vicious. They chose to be. And God used them for the purpose that he had in mind. But they deserve punishment for their own chosen viciousness. Consider, as Paul said, in a house there's fine china and paper plates. He didn't have paper plates, but you get the idea. Paul said there are vessels of honor and vessels of dishonor. 2 Timothy 2, verse 20. Which do you choose to be? The good china plates get washed and cleaned after they're used. Baptism, washed and clean. But the paper plates, they get thrown away. They served their purpose, and now they're trash. Think about that the next time you use paper plates. God used the inherent evil of the Chaldeans, but he held them accountable. In chapter 1, Habakkuk says God needs to do something, and God says, I am. Here is what I'm doing. And Habakkuk says, God, you're too righteous to do that. Are you not from everlasting, O Lord, my God, my Holy One? We will not die. You, O Lord, have appointed them to judge, and you, O Rock, have established them to correct. Your eyes are too pure to approve evil, and you cannot look on treachery. Why are you silent when the wicked swallow up those who are more righteous than they? Good people get hurt when a corrupt society gets punished. God does not go through a nation and pick out those who will be hurt and those who will not be hurt when there is a judgment on a nation. God does not do things that way. He raises up another nation to replace America. If he does that, good people will get hurt. When Assyria destroyed corrupt Israel, I've thought about this a lot. When Assyria came in and destroyed corrupt Israel, do you think only the bad people were let off into captivity? When the Chaldeans, Babylonians, captured Jerusalem, were only the bad led away into captivity? What about Daniel? He was one that was led away. Was he evil? He was led away captive and never returned home. In chapter 2 of Habakkuk, Habakkuk says, I will stand on my guard post and station myself on the rampart. He's going to go up on the wall and stand on the highest peak. And I will keep watch to see what he will speak to me and how I may reply when I am reproved. Then the Lord said to me, record the vision, inscribe it on tablets, that the one who reads may run. Kind of sounds like the statement that was made by Jesus. When you see the abomination of desolation, get out of town. Don't go back into the city. Flee. Same kind of thing stated here. The vision is yet for the appointed time. It hastens toward the goal, and it will not fail. Though it tarries, wait for it will certainly come. It will not delay. Behold, as for the proud one, that's the leader of the Chaldeans, his soul is not right within him. But the righteous shall live by faith. I don't know if you knew that's where that quote came from. In the middle of this desolation, the righteous shall live by faith. God knows what he's doing. We need to trust him and live by faith in him. Things are not out of his control. God doesn't go in the morning when he gets up. Nothing surprises him. He's not overwhelmed. He's not wringing his hands because of what's happening in the world. Do you think your God knows what he's doing? Then trust him. Proverbs 21, verse 1. The king's heart is like channels of water in the hand of the Lord. He turns it whichever way he wants. I've taken a lot of encouragement from that statement. Well, I could pour some water in my hand, but I won't do it. It'll make a mess up here. What can I do with the water that I would hold in my hand? I can do anything I want to with that water. I decide I've had enough of it, it's gone. That's the way the leaders of the world are in the hand of God. He turns it whichever way he wishes. In the future, your life may not be like it was in the 1950s. Oh, is that too long ago? I'm getting older here, yeah. I remember the 1950s, that was pretty cool. For me. Okay, so let's go to the 1990s. That a little better? Or the 2010s. I'm starting to get some of you guys in here. Your future life will not be the same as it was. That's guaranteed. But your God will still be God and he will still be in control. Live your life with faith in God. He knows what he's doing. I don't get it, but he does. Habakkuk 2, verse 18. What profit is the idol when its maker has carved it, or an image, a teacher of falsehood? For its maker trusts in his own handiwork when he finishes speechless idols. Reminds me of Isaiah, where he wrote, the carver takes a log and he cuts it in half, and one half he makes into his idol, and the other half he cuts up and burns. How does he know he didn't cut up the wrong end? Maybe he burned up his God and made an idol out of the wrong end of the log. Woe to him who says to a piece of wood, awake, to a mute stone, arise. That's your teacher? Behold, it's overlaid with gold and silver, and there is no breath in it at all. But the Lord is in his holy temple. Let all the earth keep silent before him. That came from Habakkuk as well. Now, sometimes we don't quite get that statement. I've seen that statement in a congregation's auditorium. And the statement is not about some worship assembly. What it's saying is God is in control of the whole world with all its noise and falsehoods. Shut up and listen. That's what it's saying. God's in control with all this morass that's around you. Just shut up and listen to God. All this other stuff is just noise. Quit whining, complaining, wondering, second guessing. God's in control. Your carved rock or stump is not in control. Jehovah is in control. And that's a huge comfort, isn't it? God's in control. Isn't it comforting to know that our God has his hands on it all? With things that are happening in our country and around the world, I may lose possessions. That may happen. I may lose family, but I'll never lose my God. Never. I know he will take care of me, maybe not to the level that I've grown accustomed to. I may even lose my physical life. But then what would Paul say about that? Paul said, to die is great gain. You can't get a greater reward. So, for us Christians, we have that hope. Death is not the end of the road, but the beginning of something far greater. Habakkuk's prayer, chapter 3, verse 2, Lord, I've heard the report about you, and I fear you. Lord, revive your work in the midst of the years. In the midst of the years, make it known. But in wrath, remember mercy. I know who you are, God, and I fear. Jeremiah wrote to the same Chaldean nation. Like a flood, it would overwhelm Judah and Ephraim and the surrounding nations also. Jeremiah 49:12, for thus says the Lord, behold, those who were not sentenced to drink the cup will certainly drink it. And are you the one who will be completely acquitted? You will not be acquitted, but you will certainly drink it. The innocent will have to drink the same cup of war as the guilty. Makes one think of the statement, Father, if there is any way, let this cup pass from me. But not your will, but not my will, but your will be done. He did drink that cup. And in drinking that bitter cup, he brought salvation to all humanity. He didn't deserve to drink, but he did. Sometimes good people suffer the consequences of a purging of evil. Habakkuk recognized that in his prayer and asked God in his wrath to remember mercy. Habakkuk also recognized the purging of Judah was for the salvation of his people. Did you ever cut a rotten spot out of an apple? You hurt the apple. No, you saved the apple. We can see the value of Babylonian captivity when we look back, but not when we look forward to the captivity. Israel was completely devoid of idols after Babylon. never again did any worship idols. They constructed a whole new temple. They constructed a new wall around the city, and they built a whole new city after Babylon. For a time, it was purged of evil and served God according to the law. God brought about the saving of his people through the Chaldean army that destroyed their nation. Look at Habakkuk's conclusion in chapter 3, verse 17. For though the fig tree shall not blossom, neither shall fruit be in the vines, the labor of the olive tree shall fail, and the fields will yield no food, the flock will be cut off from the fold, and there will be no herd in the stalls. Yet I will rejoice in Jehovah, I will exalt in the God of my salvation. That's Habakkuk's conclusion. If you lose everything, I mean everything, electrical power grid is destroyed. All the shelves in Meijer are empty. There is no gas at the gas stations. The farmland is not tilled and planted. The water supply is cut off. The cattle and sheep have all died in the fields. Yet, rejoice in Jehovah our deliverer. That was the position of Habakkuk. Isn't that a great idea? Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say to you, rejoice. Paul's directive. It is not that you face no difficulty, but you do not face it alone. God is with you. You have challenges coming in your life. You and I don't know what they are, but I'm sure you're going to have some. I'm sure I will have more. As Habakkuk said, the righteous shall live by faith. No matter the violence, the iniquity, the wickedness, the lawlessness, the wicked destroying the righteous, the justice being perverted, the righteous will live by faith. The righteous will live by faith. Faith is not a list of things you have to do. Faith is not a checklist of laws you've got to fulfill. Faith is a trust and confidence in our God that He is able. He is able. Today, He's working a work in the world of men. Trust God. He's the one who's in control. Trust God. It will be all right.